Julia Hayden this year. Reshaping the Future Together is their theme. Registration fees are there before October 15th, $350. Just remind anyone who wishes to do this that you can't conk out at the last minute. I know last year, Maddie, you did go, and we maybe will ask again that if you do attend these things, it's always good to come back and provide a written or some type of feedback on the information that you learned. Because that's the point of going. Go and learn and come back and share. So, who is interested in attending a virtual conference of NSFM for 2 days, November 3rd and the 4th? And I believe, Maddie, you said there was good communication. Could you just give an example of your experience with the sharing and being able to relate and talk? Because that was always a good aspect of physically being there, was your ability to have a coffee break, go off, and talk to someone from other...
The only one that I took part in, so far as there's only been one, was the one in May, but that was also virtually. So they did a really good job making cohorts online, so you weren't just in a session with 150 or 200 other people. There were some small groups of maybe like 10, 12 people, so you had an opportunity to share different things with your experience or what your municipality's doing. So you still were able to make those connections. I mean, you weren't sitting beside someone having a coffee, but you could still make those connections. And I did connect with different people in that conference, which then you can pick their brains of things that you're trying to do in your municipality or what they're doing. So it's just a big part of it is just connecting with other counselors in different areas. And I mean, it would be really nice to be able to attend one in person. I'm looking forward to that day. But I think it's something that if you haven't tried, you should, just because it's just a different experience and you'll learn something.
Mm-hmm. How did you find, like, it's a whole day session, this is 2 whole days.
Yes.
How did you find doing that from your house or wherever you did that?
It's a long day.
With that stuff and the family and everything else going on. And
So I didn't have my youngest home at the time, so I was not interrupted. But in saying that, Mayor Amanda McDougall from CBRM chaired the last meeting of the NSFM, and she had a baby on her lap half the time. So if there's interruptions, I mean, you can mute yourself and things like that. And the days like this with COVID, it's really expected. People, if your cat wanders across, they just laugh. So I mean, I wouldn't worry too much about that. It is a long day because you're sitting in front of a computer all day. But they did schedule lots of breaks. Is it different from in person? Absolutely, but it's something, I guess.
Anyone wish to take part in this? I know I want to know what the NSFM are doing. And last time, I think this fall conference, what I found in the past from physically attending these is you get to find out who the leaders and the shakers are. And you get to kind of get a sense of the direction the NSFM are taking. And I think it's important that us out here in the rurals kind of know and have a better sense of them. So I sit in my office 2 days anyway, uninterrupted. I mean, anyone else who is welcome to come in if you feel like you're distracted at home, you're always welcome to come in here and spend those 2 days as well. But I would like to virtually attend these. And I mean, they really haven't said what they're doing, reshaping the future together. The vision of moving Nova Scotia forward.
Party leaders. Whole agenda at some point. I got the agenda.
Yeah.
I'm not sure soon it was before the actual conference.
Yeah.
But
I am interested in attending this fall one because it's also the regional, the the rural caucus meetings will all be held, then you get to see who's moving forward in those.
They had those in the spring as well.
It's elections of all the officers.
Oh, I see.
So it's.
I'm not.
I've not been in that loop of NSFM because there's enough to do, but they are our union voice. And I think it's important that we kind of know what our union voice is doing. So I do, anyone else?
I think it's really important, but I'll be the first to say I don't have the attention span to do 2 days on a Zoom meeting. And I know Councilor Charlton, Councilor Romero, and I have the ad hoc noise bylaw on one of those days, so.
I have another commitment on the other day, so I'm gonna opt out of this one.
So we'll just put this forward as a recommendation.
No, just need whoever's gonna go, we'll just write the people, so. But I'm not sure if Councilor Romero or Fancy or Hawks or Kitty Long.
I'm not sure of my November date yet, so.
She may be laid up.
I may not.
She might want to.
Not quite sure.
Alright.
Again, with those meetings that I've been to some, you know, when you're in person, and the most you're getting out of these, more so than anything else, is you get to interact with other councilors, knowing you can talk to them. You do more in between meetings than you do in the meetings. And here, even just doing meetings, we had our first Region 6 meeting, we did more in that one Region 6 meeting than we ever did on any of the others, because you actually could see each other and talk.
Yeah.
You just, it's a long day to have meetings.
Alright, so let's move on to 8.5.
Just so we agree that if anybody's interested, council's authorizing them to register. We're not putting any limits on the numbers or anything, because it doesn't like to bring any, so we're.
So if anything changes.
We're okay if anybody decides the next day or two they want to attend, that it's okay for staff to register.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're not, there's no overnight fees, meal fees, accommodation fees. Okay, so 8.5, as you are aware, staff have been reviewing policies with the viewpoint of making our policies less wordy, more in line with what we have the staff capability of doing, looking at costs and such. So before you see is a operational policy that is here for discussion. It can, again, be discussed, go back for further discussion, be looked at again, whatever. So the floor is open for comments.
I have a question.
Councilor Romero.
So the flagpole at the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center will be the special purpose flagpole.
And
so will the one by the bridge not be anymore the special purpose flagpole, or?
I can give you a comment as mayor. I receive all kinds of requests for our flag to be hung in front of the town hall. When groups, for example, today I received a request from a woman who tonight she wanted red, white, and blue lights in front of the town hall. And I told her I regret it, but it's kind of late to ask for that tonight. People look at the Liverpool Cultural Center as the central area, and of all of our flags, it is the most prominent. The VON had asked for their flag on that pole, not realizing that that's not our special purpose flag. So in light of visibility, then does that not make sense
but
for
that
to be?
That will be our only one,
that
correct?
That will be the only special purpose.
That's okay. Yeah, that was my question.
And
yeah.
When that's not there, I assume the Canadian flag would be hung there.
Okay.
But it's the highest place of visibility. And even though we call it a town hall, it is a Liverpool Arts and Cultural Center.
How many flagpoles are we actually downsizing on this plan?
This plan doesn't address that. There will be a council agrees to this this proposed new policy, then we'll come back and share what the proposal is. There's been no decisions made about the numbers, but we do have some ideas about where we can reduce flagpoles and the rationale for them.
Okay.
Because there were, as council's working, there were many poles put in at locations that never had a
Okay. With the half-mast, I don't see anything in there about when former councillors or mayors pass away. Is that something that?
So if you read it, it says during certain times of municipal, that would be a former councillor mayor.
Okay.
Provincial, national, international mourning, flags should be flown at half-mast where possible. Direction of when and how long flags should come to appropriate government bodies. So if someone federally recognized dies and the federal government says all flags should go half-mast, that's our direction.
Okay.
Presently, within our policy, it says if a former councillor, town councillor, mayor, whatever. In the case of the municipality, so if it was a former municipal, you know, municipal or former Liverpool or anyone else, then it would be the direction of the mayor. That the flag, the flags below.
Okay, but in earlier on, it said accountability, the responsibility for implementation, it lies with the municipality's deputy clerk. So are we giving two, or does deputy clerk just oversee the policy and the mayor?
And the implementation.
Okay.
So if there is, so the way the policy is written, the deputy clerk would just follow that. And if there's any time, so if someone passes away,
yeah,
then the deputy clerk would consult with provincial, federal, whoever it is, and determine what the protocol is. Do you put it down this day, up this day, or what it is? They would do that. In the case of municipal, they consult with the mayor.
Okay.
And the only reason it says the mayor is because these things are immediate.
Yep.
It's not something we could call or email councillors and expect you to answer. You need to do it right away.
Yes. No,
that's the issue we fall upon now, is our current policy says that we lower the flag to half mast on the day of death, but often we don't know for 2 or 3 days minimum.
Right.
Before we know, we're already behind. So,
yeah.
So we're already behind.
And you'll notice that these policies are all getting the standard look with the right text and the simplification in the wording and things. Any other questions, comments?
Yes.
Councillor Gidney?
Standard flags. When flags flown shall be Canadian flag, but there's no exception to the municipal owned single mast flagpole, which would be at the Astor Theater, which would be the special purpose flag. That's not noted.
Oh, okay, so that should be when one flag is flown, it shall be when one flag is flown on poles other than the special purpose flag.
Yep.
I think what we said though is when the special purpose flag is flying, it would be there. When it's not, the Canadian flag would be there, which is consistent with the standard flags. When there's only one flag, it's the Canadian flag. That would be the intention.
Yeah, but that doesn't say that. If that says that, I've missed it.
No, it doesn't say under the special purpose flag. It doesn't state that if they're not there, it should be the Canadian flag. So maybe we'll need to just add that in.
Okay.
In the absence of a special purpose flag, it is the Canadian flag that is flown. And then in the standard flags, we just need to make a note when one flag is flown other than at the special purpose pole, it shall be the Canadian flag.
Well, there it says at the standard flag, though. When one flag is flown, it shall be the Canadian flag. I think Councillor Gidney's point is just clarifying on the special purpose flag.
So we just at the end of the first paragraph, the special purpose flag, we just put in the absence of a special purpose flag on this pole, or on the special purpose pole,
when
the
flag
Canadian
flown,
flag shall be flown.
And one flag is flown, it's a Canadian flag, with the exception of the town's, with the municipality's own single mass flag pole identified, designated to the special purpose flag.
You want it in both places. You want it noted there and also in the special purpose flags.
Well, if we're having standard flags, like it's got to be, if we've got a change there, it's got to be, if when one flag is flown, it should be a flag.
Right. Except for our special purpose pole.
Yes.
But the special purpose pole only has one flag, right?
It only has one flag. And if it's not a special flag,
so
then
it'll be
it will be the Canadian flag. continue, Counselor Gidney.
Okay, with the special purpose flags, it was always approved by council, at a council meeting, and now it's gonna be approved by the deputy clerk. I feel that that's our job, that's part of our, what we do, and I really don't wanna relinquish that to the deputy clerk. I think that's something that, as a council, that we should be involved with that to determine what the purpose, the special purpose flag is, and for us to have discussion on it, and if we agree, then that's great.
I think basically this bylaw basically says, like, for example, with the special purpose flag, it does state that we will not fly flags of political or religious bodies. And I mean, I guess in our, as we move forward into acceptance and diversity, and I don't know, how does the rest of council feel? Do you feel you need input?
And just to clarify, I'm indifferent if council wants to have that approval, I'm fine with that, but I don't think it exists now. Like, we get requests all the time.
And we
put the flags up, it doesn't come back to council for approval, so
right.
I think there's a...
Well, on 84.2.4...
If that's in the policy, we don't follow it, if that's the case. Then.
Well, see, that's a problem when we're not following policy. Yeah. See, that's and I have a problem. If we have a policy, then why discuss this new flag policy? If we're not gonna follow policy, then I think if we're gonna have policy, we should put in the things that we wanna follow.
Right.
If we don't wanna follow them, right.
And that's why we're reviewing these things, to get rid of stuff that we're not following.
Thank you.
Like, we don't follow that old policy that says, flights go up, they go down, they go come down the day of the funeral, they go up this, none of that stuff.
What I'd like to see in this policy is that any special social purpose flags are approved by council at a council meeting.
Now, remember in the other one, there is an appendix that has the ones that always go up yearly.
Yes, yes.
So, well, okay.
So it would be any
so it's just that.
The new ones, exactly.
Okay.
And they were approved by council.
And those had been, like I think the ones that didn't get done via when asked, I don't think they added in, whatever.
No, but that did come to council, so.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm incorrect. Maybe it's the ones that aren't on the list that come
yes.
to council.
Yeah.
The ones who are on the list go up.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe it is. Maybe
so
may,
okay, so
terrible.
we can have that in there. So we'll bring that, have a note about that in special purpose. So you want this brought back again for discussion? So you can see it again?
Yes.
With the changes we're recommending,
yes.
And then
yes.
And then we can, okay,
yes.
So this is coming back as a discussion point with those two changes noted so far. What other changes?
On the half mass, case of municipality that the direction come from the mayor. There again, in the previous policy, 84.3.5, it says direction of council.
For half mass?
For half mass, yes.
Mm. Yeah, but that.
Serve any purpose. Recognized by the act of lowering flags to half mass at the direction of council.
So how are we going to do that?
Yeah.
How are we going to do it? Someone dies, and we're going to wait for a council meeting, and we're directed to put the flag at half mass.
Could be a month in the cycle.
I personally have no issues with it coming from the mayor. I mean, Charlie Welch just died. If that email would have gone out, on a half council could be away. Best way. I mean, in someone that. In the morning of the municipality, I think the intent is to honor that person correctly as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay with it the way that it is.
Yeah, I agree with Maddie. I am as well.
Respectfully
okay,
withdraw. Thank you.
Any other comments, Councilor Gidney?
No.
Okay. Anyone else have anything? So that so when this comes back next week under discussion, we can hopefully just refer it off to decision at the next council meeting.
Okay, so just for clear, we want to clarify around the Canadian flag is on the special purpose pole, and there's no special purpose flag flying on that pole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Second part is council wants to be the one that approves any flags that go on that pole that aren't
on
in the appendix.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the ones that are in the appendix, so we've got new ones in the appendix now. There are...
ordinary ones?
So these are the.
That match are fine, that's, it's,
Yeah. And then appendix B states the ones that we currently do. We've added in the National Day of Truth and Reconciliation, that would be new. VON is there, no. And they ask every year, so should they not just be on there? Victoria Order of Nurses, they ask every year.
We're talking about additions, if they're already have their flag flown, then to me they're not an addition, they're existing, so why not add them?
Just to clarify, these are ones that we own the flags of and we put them up, so if we have to go buy a VON flag to make sure it got put up in case it didn't.
Just remember that comment.
Cause if they didn't come forward, we'd still have to put one up, if you put it in the policy.
Then we just end up with way more flags again, okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we're happy with the appendix as it is now?
The International Day of Homophobia, Transphobia, Biphobia, we already have a flag for them?
It's.
I've never, they weren't on the previous list.
No, that's a recommendation from our Diversity and Inclusion Action Team, and that's, the flag is just the pride flag, it's the same flag.
Yes, yes.
So they've recommended a few changes that are in the policy.
Okay, ready to move on?
Okay, so we should have a motion to refer this to the next meeting for discussion.
Counselor Nancy has something.
Yeah, it's a few things. Of course, our current policy, when it says over here in the details right on the first page, it is very restrictive and I didn't get my glasses on here, make sure I read it right, and precipitative in its approach and is often not responsible for staff to follow. The whole idea is you gotta be so careful with when you're getting requests made, because different people can have different flags for different things, and that was why it was restrictive in the first place, to make sure that we didn't get somebody for the knitting club that wanted to fly a flag if they had a flag that they could fly for. So you put restrictions around it to be able to try to, so I just hope we don't get an overflow of requests, and then we have to try to deny them because we're taking all the restrictions off, you know, you gotta be careful.
Then that's Counselor Ginny wished to, that's right, and we would. If we get someone that wants to hang a pirate flag up, we're gonna say no.
Right, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I may, the restrictive part isn't about that part, the restrictive part is, as I mentioned, the policy says we put the flag at half mast when the person died, the day they die, we often don't know the day they die, so we can't follow that.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And the policy says we put it up 7 days from the time of their death. With COVID, we quickly learned it didn't happen because the person, that the funeral might not be for 3 weeks or a month or 2 months.
Absolutely.
So if we put it up, we'd be putting it up long before the actual funeral or whatever took place.
Right.
And we also have in there that we put the flags down at sunrise or sunrise. We put them up at sunset. So, and our staff actually do come in sometimes at 5 a.m. or at 9 p.m. to do that.
Yeah.
But it's kind of unfair to ask them to do that on a regular basis. And so sometimes they're just not available, don't do that.
Right.
So we're just trying to prevent and remove some of those things in there that are forcing us to not follow the policy, because we want to follow the policy.
Right.
But some things in there, it's not possible for us to follow those things because
absolutely.
They're so restrictive or so prescriptive, as it says.
Yes.
Okay, so we need a motion that
I haven't finished yet.
Oh.
Oh, you haven't finished
no,
yet?
No, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you still have more things?
Oh, yeah, got a few more things.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm just because I'm just trying to follow along some of the things, too. So with the special flag pole right now that we have, if we take the flag away from there, what's going to be there?
That's a discussion for another day. For now, we just want to talk about a flag policy. We don't want to confuse the two, like where flags are and whatever. This, we don't want to convolute and mix up talking about, because that's another appendix that we add into this. We just want to talk about the policy in general and not convolute it with, well, are we going to have a flag there or aren't we going to have a flag? We just, first we want to deal with the meat of this thing, and then we'll deal with discussion about where flag poles are going to be throughout the county.
I, st- still think it's a fair question, because it could be anything put down there. We just wanna make sure that we're all on the same page.
But that's a discussion that we are gonna discuss what flag will go there.
Right.
But we get through this first.
Okay, so you said another meeting, we'll continue on with this, okay?
Right, that's another item for another.
Not saying that we just, it ends here today. Okay, the other thing, where did I see the, we have it on one of the back, some pages. Cause I don't always understand what this, on the accountability end of it, it says responsibility for the placement and maintenance of flags shall lie with the municipality's director of engineering public works. What does that mean exactly? Cause I mean, does it mean if we, is the flags that we have, could we, like, I don't know where this all, you know, where does it end and begin, you know, that type of thing.
So that means what it says. That means that the responsibility for the flags, maintaining them, making sure they look free and they're not all shredded to pieces, and putting them up and putting them down and putting up special purpose flag, putting it down, that's director of engineering works job.
Yep.
Not recreation, it's their job.
Yeah, that's their job, but the placement, what is placement?
That's what it means. Placement means.
Up and down.
That.
Placement means putting in place.
Yeah, like hanging them up.
Yeah.
On hold.
Well, it could be.
Well, and they place them in too. They're responsible for the placement. We decide where the poles go. We don't go in and place them in the ground.
No.
They do.
No. Oh, I didn't know if there's gonna be something like, okay, well, you could have a flag over here later on, or you could have a flag over here, because we say, well, the placement's up to the, wherever you want to put them, because of the placement. I'm just asking, making sure the terminology I understand.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. And so, there's no intent to do anything fuzzy here, and so we will bring forward a recommendation or some suggestions as to what that, where the flag pole should be and all that stuff. But this simply says, if we decide, if council decide they wanna put a flag pole,
At the playground.
At ABC property.
Right.
The director of engineering would find the most suitable, appropriate location and put it there. It wouldn't be up to us or me or council to say, no, we want it here, want it there. You gotta put it in a spot that's appropriate, that's safe, that's easily accessible and so on and so forth.
Okay. And the other thing too, is I look at our flags in here, we still good with what we have? So that's not part of the discussion or anything, right?
This one has to change, cause we don't, we're fading that out, so we'll get a new one there eventually, but we didn't budget any money for any of that stuff this year, so.
Right.
But the other ones are all fine.
Okay. I just understand where we are with it. I don't want any surprises later on that we did this or we didn't do that or whatever, maybe it's easier to ask now than to send out later.
Do you need a motion?
Yeah, we need a motion to refer this to the next council meeting for resolution. Moved by Council Gidney, seconded by Council Charlton. All those in favor? Passed. Move along. 8.1. Isn't it strange? You have an empty seat for months, and then suddenly you have two people come forward to fill that seat.
8.6.
So the 8.6. Audit Internal Control Committee has one vacancy, and we have two people interested in the seat. One is Patricia Purcell, retired after 40 years, trust company, major brokerage firm, asset management firm, living here in Queens. And the second is Melissa Thiel from Brooklyn. She's working on her CPA designation, worked 3.5 years public accounting, currently cost consultant with a private sector company. There's only one seat, so what do you think?
I was impressed with both of them.
I know.
Yeah. It's like, my gosh, wow.
Okay. I don't know either one of them. But looking at their qualifications, I would lean towards Patricia Purcell. We have already have somebody on the Audit and Internal Control Committee that's had auditing experience. We have banking experience. I think this would add something in our investment experience, which we need, because we've put a new investment policy in place for the region. It would be nice to have somebody who has experience in that to oversee it.
I never thought of that.
I'm just wondering if there would be anything prohibiting us from offering two seats, I say this because of how hard it is to get people on committees. Would there actually be anything preventing us, Chris, adding two members?
We just have to revise the terms of reference. If you revise the terms of reference, then we do.
I hate to turn someone away, both have experience when you don't know, like, are we gonna lose another, I mean, I guess that's a gamble on any committee, but I just.
The rumors are out, the information's out, but how much fun the audit and term control.
I've seen that, yes.
That's, Joanne's the one that has fun. It's numbers.
But if you wish to move forward both of them, we can move it forward and then bring forward the required, just a minor amendment to that terms of reference for the committee to change it from three public members to four, if that's the wish of council.
Yeah, I would like to make a recommendation that we go forward with that, because when I look at these two individuals, I think they both be fantastic. And I agree with Councilor Charlton that they would be, that both of them on would be definitely an asset.
Councilor Brown?
I think that's a wonderful idea. Part of the terms of reference is we have to have a certain number of members of the public on the committee at any meeting to make any decisions. So if we added another member, it would give us more chance if somebody wasn't able to make it, that we would have a quorum.
Yeah, it wouldn't knock that number, would it?
No, but we have to have two members of the public to form a quorum. And right now, we only have two members.
And we only have two public members, so we have four, then we have
a better chance.
Both having meetings.
Yeah.
Another good thought.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Councilor Gidney, did you make a motion that we bring this forward at next council meeting with an amendment to?
Well, no, so we just, if you make a recommendation, the first one there, to bring it forward for a recommendation. So the next meeting, we'll bring back this report with a recommendation for both individuals. And also on the agenda, just before we approve that, we'll do a report and a recommendation directly without going through a discussion phase, just to make those couple minor amendments to the terms of reference to the committee.
Yes.
So make amendments to the terms of reference first,
yes.
And then that will make this a legal motion afterwards to institute.
We'll do it that way.
Yes.
Everybody agree with that?
So we just need a motion to recommend to move it forward for a recommendation. Yes.
Okay. So you made a recommendation,
yes.
Move it forward for recommendation.
I'll second.
Councilor Brown seconded. All those in favor? Thank you.
So now we need a motion to bring forward changes for the terms of reference?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. That all came out of our discussion.
Understanding we're not going through it, we would normally go through a discussion phase, but we're understanding we're going to bring that forward directly as a recommendation. Because it's only going to be a couple wording changes. It won't be anything.
Right. Okay.
The Queens Accessibility Advisory Committee has one spot left. Mackenzie Pope had expressed interest in the past and then for some personal reasons wasn't able to, but now she's indicated that she would like to have a place on that committee.
Yes.
So this is for a discussion. Is there anyone, does someone want to make a motion that is everyone in agreement?
Well,
yes,
yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
I just want to say that Mackenzie, she's in federal young lady. Very in tune with everything going on. She's could definitely be a great asset.
I didn't realize she offered American Sign Language lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we all, so there's a, did you make that motion?
I will, yes.
And I can second it. Yeah.
And Councilor Amaro just seconded.
It's
so
nice to see so many younger people want to be a part of these committees as well.
It is.
Really nice.
And Mackenzie was at our last meeting and she'll bring a world of advice and help.
Oh, I know. A little stubborn, isn't she?
Oh, she's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. And item 8.0.
We have to vote.
Got to move her to second.
Yeah.
Defer it for a recommendation, I assume.
Right.
And
we need a vote. All in favor? 8.8, Council Implementation Report. Are there any questions? As you know, this is either what's complete, what's being worked on, what things are still need to be done. It's a very good record of. It's just ticked off as things get moved ahead. Any questions on any of those? Okay, we need a motion to go in camera and then we're going to have a little break.
We had Chris.
No.
Oh, right, Chris has one more.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh, right.
Calls,
yes,
so.
We did.
Yeah.
confusing is a understatement. So there is another press conference tomorrow at 3 o'clock from the premier's gonna be speaking about some more changes about phase five. But what we've been told is as of Monday, so October the 4th, any non-essential facilities will not allow the public to enter unless they have the proper vaccination levels at least 14 days prior to entering, plus have to show proof of government ID or who they are. So they can't just show their vaccine status. And some are two doses vaccine, and there's one that I think is one dose of vaccine. So we can't say double dose, because there are some doses that are only one.
Johnson's, isn't it? Johnson and Johnson or something like that.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
So that's in place, and we're aware we're working on stuff now about what we're going to do for Queen's Place. The other part of it was the request or the interpretation of what happens with council meetings. And so the province's position is that staff are not required to be vaccinated by regulation or by law. The position of the province is council members are not required to be vaccinated as well, because you're coming for your place of employment. So that is fine for the purpose of a council meeting when you come in the building as of Monday. However, any member of the public who comes to a council meeting will have to show proof of vaccine in order to get into the council meeting. Now, they can still come in the building, pay bills, or get permits and stuff, but anybody who wishes to come into a council meeting as of after Monday will be required to check at the door and make sure they have that proof before they'll be allowed to enter. Because they determine council meetings are not mandatory, they're discretionary.
What about if someone wants to come in and see Bill about building permit questions?
No, that's fine. So those are fine to come in and do that. But
they can go in and do that without proof of vaccine.
That's right, because they're coming for essential service as far as a building permit or to pay their bills at the front counter, but to come into a council meeting, it's considered discretionary. So
they can do it online.
That's the province's position. Where it gets problematic, and hopefully this will be over before then, but where it gets problematic is I think on the next agenda there's a public hearing about a heritage property in Caledonia.
Yeah.
And so they're able to come and present or before or against it. So they must be double vaccinated to be able to attend. Not double vaccinated, but to have to show proof in order to attend. And so hopefully we don't get a situation here where we have a zoning or rezoning or something like that, or any type of hearing or appeal process where someone is required to have the requirement and they don't. If that happens, then we may have to move the council meeting outside of this building in order to make that happen on the odd occasion. I'm not sure where, but I'm hopeful we won't have to do that, but there is that potential that we may run into some problems if there is an issue. And that's, as of Thursday of last week, that's the province's position, that council meetings are not mandatory, they're discretionary, and so anybody that comes in here after Monday will be required to have the appropriate paperwork.
Through this,
Councillor Charlton, you were looking quizzical, and then Councillor Gibbs.
So they would walk through same door.
They would come here, someone would meet them right out here by the washroom to check.
But I just mean is they would use the exact same entrance if they were coming in to pay a water bill or anything like that. They don't have to show that there, but they have to show it here.
They have to show it here to come in and sit in the gallery. Or to make a presentation.
This is deemed optional, but then paying their bills is
right.
So that's the reasoning?
Concept. I agree. I think this is great. This is what things we have to do. One comment that I have received is that if I go to a mirror center, I have to be vaccinated, but the staff there doesn't. No. And this. So the point is, this is like a double standard. And I just want to throw that out there. This is. I've had that comment made to me, and I just wanted to share that.
So you can explain about employees. You cannot force them.
Well, no. And I understand that. And I do understand. It's just that's a comment that's made. It's just
you say you can't force them, but then I hear around the news all the time where CN and making their employees be double vaccinated. And there's other places that say that if you don't get double vaccinated, you don't come to work. So
yeah.
I don't understand how you're saying that we can't force our employees to do that.
If you wish to put in place a policy that requires employees to be vaccinated, you need to be prepared to pay significant hundreds of thousands of dollars in severance to employees. So if CN or other companies are doing that and forcing people,
you're
considering terminating those employees without cause, and so you need to pay severance. We have lots of legal opinions on that. That's without dispute. The other part is if you require people to be vaccinated, they refuse, you may well close down part of your operation. So if we have people at Queen's Place that refuse, that operate the infrastructure, close it down because they're hard to come by, you're not gonna find people. If people at landfill refuse to get vaccinated, you may be closing down part of the landfill because you don't have the people operating. Or it could be at Queen's Place, you may have to reduce hours of operation because you don't have the people, the same staff, to operate. In the great world, or the perfect world, you'd have lots of staff, lots of availability, and people weren't vaccinated, you could turn over. We're not in that environment right now where we have a surplus of staff. We're a shortage of staff in most of our operations right now, and it's very difficult to find more staff. So, but it's really a occupational, not occupational, but it's a legal issue for employment lawyers, and they're having a field day because you do see it in other provinces and stuff. I'm not sure what their legislation is in other provinces, but I know there's been lots of discussion in Nova Scotia with lots of lawyers, and every one of them says the same thing. If you want to put in place a policy, you're more than willing to, but you're going to open your checkbook significantly and pay those people off. Mm-hmm. Because you can't just terminate something without cause. For health reasons, you can't force somebody to put a needle in their arm for any other reason, so there's no reason why you can force them to do it for a particular pandemic. So.
I think the last place, I think, was the Ontario nurses. They were telling them if they don't get vaccinated, they won't be working.
And they'll close down hospitals. So
yeah.
That'll be the risk they take, and people will die. And so that'll be the politicians of the day who force that. We'll have to deal with that issue. So.
So Queen's Place needs workers. There'll be two shift at a door. We're only going to be using probably one door, correct? Well, Megan's working that out.
No, we're advertising for people. We'll need probably 8 or 10 people full time for 2 or 3 months probably.
And they're going to work some pairs. It'll be, you know, bring your laptop, bring your book, bring your knitting, bring your hook and bring your whatever, bring your model building kit, because you're sitting at a door for 8 hours, and you've got to check proof ID, you got to check that, and you got to be willing to take verbal abuse.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make one more comment.
Yeah.
Good luck with hiring somebody, because nobody wants to work.
And that's
you know, there's job postings all over town, and I've had different stores tell me that they can't get people to
nobody
work.
Even comes in.
So I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but it's pretty sad.
It's a second job for many.
We're going to be moonlighting.
Really? I don't think we're allowed to moonlight for the region. Not allowed to moonlight for the region.
Oh, thank you.
I talked to a retired RCP officer, and he said, maybe he'd be interested in that 3 days a week. So we might have to be very flexible in our schedule.
Oh, we're gonna
you might be surprised.
Just get people over there. We might be surprised. Yep. There might be enough people out there that want to be the enforcer.
We'll do that, Dave.
And wanted to do that.
They just told me I can't.
$15 an hour. And
we're not allowed to work for the region.
Not allowed to work for the region. Not if you're a counselor.
How many doors can we shut off?
We can't shut any off, but we'll restrict our entryway.
That's what I mean, that they can't get in, but they...
They can get out. So
they get out,
We have multiple problems there because of the entrance way we have there. So we're working on logistics. We're trying to minimize it so we can make sure the participants have relatively seamless entrance and exit without delaying and bogging up an entryway with hockey gear and figure skaters and other people. So we're working on a strategy to do that, which is going to require a little bit of finessing. But then there'll also be some patrol issues around the two front doors that need to be taken care of.
So it's just the two front doors is really the big issue. If the other ones had to just limited access.
Yeah, but we just have to be careful that somebody doesn't
open it for somebody else.
The hockey players typically wear the figure skaters go in the side door.
Yeah.
And so we just want to make sure that they don't have somebody that's not vaccinated and they let them in the side door because we don't have somebody there. So
that's
we just
right.
We're gonna have to be very cognizant of that to make sure we're keeping an eye on things. But we got so many doors there, it's a problem. So.
Mm.
But we're going to try to limit it so that only certain people can come in some certain doors that are essentially pre-authorized, and all the other ones will have to come in through the two main doors.
Okay.
And so their plan's not even finalized, but they'll probably say new things tomorrow, I assume.
I think this is pretty set because they were pretty adamant about last week, but I expect there will be some other changes potentially tomorrow. Like, I don't see masks coming off on Monday. I 99.9% of chance that's not going to happen. But they may make some other changes, I'm not sure. We're never privy to what those announcements are going to be before it takes place. So. We just know it's inconvenient, but it's much better than the other option of death. So.
Yep. Anyone knows anyone that's semi-retired, retired, wants something to do? Like I said, it's going to be pretty easy, except you're going to take some verbal abuse. And you're going to have have good eyes, you know, you're gonna have to look at the picture ID thing anyway. And I really just hope we get people. Anyway, now we need a motion to move in camera.
I can make a motion to move in camera.
Seconded by Councilor Charlton, all in favor? We all stand up, get some water and.
There's a job for you, Terry.